It wasn't based on circumstance. It was based upon his relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we looked at verse number 13. They get a little bit and they get all panic about it. There you have vehicles running that look like they're a rust color paint, but they're not paint. It's all rust on the cars, all right? And it's solid. And then you get what they call cancer of the car and the rust, because it actually eats through the metal and that in the cars. And you have all this rust in the cars. Some of you that collect older cars or like older cars, you usually don't buy them from the Midwest. You buy them from the West or the Northwest because they don't use the salt and the different things that cause there to rust those vehicles. But everything we have is going to fall apart. How many of you have had to replace a refrigerator at one time or another? Now, back in the old days, you would buy a refrigerator. How long would that last? Some of you got 40 to 50 years out of it. The typical fridge lasts 7 to 8 years today. That's what they make them for. So if you got more than 7 to 8 years, you're doing well. But you invest in those things, and what happens to those things? They fall apart. How many remember when you were a kid and you thought of something very precious that you wanted to buy, something very special that you wanted to get, and you saved your money, you saved your hard-earned money, and you bought it? To only have your older brother Rich break it on you, and your investment was gone. How many have had that happen before? So the idea is this morning, what are you investing in? See, everything that we think is important in life today is what we invest in. You see, the Bible says what we put our investment in shows where our heart is. It shows what's important to us. It shows what we are going to willing to sacrifice for, what we're willing to do. Philippians chapter 4, let's look at verse 14. It says, notwithstanding ye have done well, that he did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessities. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received Epaphroditus, the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your precious word. And Lord, we ask, as we look at your word this morning, that you would speak to our hearts this morning and illuminate your scriptures to us. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. What are you investing in? Well, look at verse 14. I want you to see what the Philippians invested in. I want you to see their investment. I want you to see what mattered to them. Look at verse 14. Notwithstanding, ye have done well that he did communicate with my afflictions. Paul says, ye have done well. You have done a beautiful, excellent, noble thing. You have done that which is important. You've done that which others have not done. You've done and gone above what is expected of you. You invested in something that is precious. He says, then he uses this word. Look at this word. Saying you have done well that you did communicate with my affliction. What did he give him the praise for doing? He says, you invested in me. That word communicate, that word there, look again there in verse number 19, and we see this here, and this verse that's given here, notwithstanding you have done well that you did communicate with my affliction. That word communicate there means to become a partaker with others, to share or to have fellowship with a thing. What he's saying is, you came alongside me and what I was facing and what I was going through in my life. Now, as Paul's writing this, we understand that Paul's even in prison at this time as he's writing this letter. Paul's gone through 3 shipwrecks. Paul's gone through some hard times in his life. And he says, you have done well. You have done a beautiful thing because you have been alongside me. You've communicated with me. You longed for me. You had a burden for me, what I was facing in my life. You know, the Bible tells us we're to bear one another's burdens. Go to Galatians chapter 6 for a moment. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 2. It says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Paul says, you have come alongside. You have bared my burdens. You have communicated with me. You have come and you've been there to help me through what I'm facing. You know what we need to invest in this morning? We need to invest in the ministry. We need to invest in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to invest in that which is eternal and that which is going to matter in life this morning. We need to invest in one another that is striving to live for God and please God with their lives. It's not just serving God, it's living for God. And when we're living for God, we're serve God. And we need to invest in this idea of helping one another, encouraging one another, building one another up. Paul says, you've communicated well with me. You've come alongside me. You've taken my burdens. We're to bear one another's burdens. We are living in a society where we're invest in someone that we think can help us. But we're very take a back seat sometimes when we're going to invest in someone that we don't see them helping us. See, the world's result is not as good as God's result in what we invest in. What we invest for eternity is a better result. But we don't see that in our lives. See, I'll invest in someone that they're going to give more money to the church. I'll invest in someone, they're going to help me and take care of my needs. I'm going to invest in someone that can benefit me in some way. Wait, what did Paul say? You invested in Paul and you took Paul's burdens and you were there with Paul because you understood what the result was. The result was not the here and now. The result's not how they got to pad their pocketbooks, but the result was what? The gospel went further. See, we need to invest in that which matters in the eternity. Not what matters here in the here and now. We're going to bear one another's burdens. We're going to take on the burdens that each individual in this room has. Now, I understand we have our own burdens. But the Bible says as we cast those burdens upon Jesus, our yoke is light. It becomes light. That the burdens become light in our lives. And we need to cast those burdens. We need to share those burdens. We need to come alongside. Because what happens if individuals in this room is weak and we have all these burdens and all these things we're going through and we feel like we're alone and we're by ourselves and we don't have other people investing in us and coming alongside us and helping us? What's going to happen? We're going to crumble. And what's going to happen to the ministry of this church? What's going to happen to the ministry that we are to have as individual believers in this world? What's going to happen? It's going to crumble. Why? Because we are not investing in that which matters. Let's give some thoughts. A lot of people in this world today will invest in their children because they think their children are going to be great athletes, right? How many people think some of your people you've been around are going to be great athletes? Most of us know they're never going to amount to, right? But how do we perceive this? Or what do we do? You ever notice in this world how many times people will allow their children to miss things they know they need to do so they can go to sports practice because they think there's a glimmer of hope that they're going to be the next Michael Jordan. They're going to be the next Kirby Puckett. They're going to be the next, some of you go, who is that? Alan Trammell. So you're going to be some of these individuals and these players, and some of you go, I don't even know who they are. Oh, back in the old days, these are some good players, all right? Some of you young people go, I never heard of them. And isn't that interesting? We invest so much into this. But we invest in things, and we allow, and we're going to do this. How many people know how many kids in a city make it to a sports team? What's that? It's 1%. 1% in a whole city. So you take the population of Napa, 1% makes that. Now think about that. How many kids are in a typical high school here in Napa? Anyone know how many kids are in a typical high school in the city of Napa? Nope. There's more than that in the senior class. The typical high school, what's that? It's closer to about 1,600 in the typical there. So you take it, how many high schools do we have? Do you know? No, we don't. We have more. There is 5 high schools in the city of Napa now. There's one that's considered an alternative one, and there's one called Pathways, and then we have our Napa, the Skyview, and Columbia is our 5 high schools that we have. You take those, and now some of those other ones are a little less than the 1,600, and you take all those and you put it there. Think about how many thousands of kids in our high school, and only 1% make it. But we invest so much in it. How many do you think your kid's going to be a doctor or a lawyer? Now, there could be some. But you know what we do? We invest so much in, and I'm not saying don't put time into school, please. Kids are going to say, Pastor said we don't have to do homework. That's not what I said. But we invest so much in that we tell them they have to do all this, and they have to get the straight A's. And you know what? I want kids to do their best. If they're straight A's, then get straight A's. If you're straight C's like Steve, get straight C's. I mean, just do your best that you can do. Right, Steve? And you just do the best that you can do. But we put so much stock in them, and we say, you have to invest so much, you have to do this, you got to do all this, and you got to have these great grades, and we put all this investment in them, but what is that stuff going to do? Yeah, they might be a doctor, they might be a lawyer, they might make $170,000, they might make this great money, they might do these great things, but what importance does that really have in life? What are we investing in? Paul says, you took my burdens. You came along upon me. Now, as we look at this, it says, you didn't just do it once. You did it a second time. We see the investment. The investment is they continued to help Paul. It's a continued action that they continued to do. They were giving help to help him. They were not hard and they were callous. And Paul's motive there, he says, not, verse 17, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Paul says, I'm not thanking you for your investment because it helped me. I'm thanking you for your investment because what it does in your life adds fruit to your account. It has to do, Paul says, with your heart more than anything else. It shows your true colors. It shows what's inside you. It shows your love for God and your love for me. But it's not for me to get more. It's not for me to get prosperity. But it's for you to abound. You to have that fruit in your life. For you to grow. For you to mature. For you to be what God wants you to be. How many remember about 20 years ago or so, the prosperity preaching? That was around, some of you say, I wasn't even born 20 years ago. About 20-some years ago, it was prosperity preaching. Anybody remember the Time magazine? That used to be a big magazine. And some of the kids go, what's a magazine? I don't know what that is anymore. Is that on Google or Facebook? You probably could get a copy on that, all right? But the Time magazine, and it talked about a very famous prosperity preacher that was on there and big thing. And he would teach people that you would go ahead and you give me your money. And if you give me your money, God's blessing will fall upon you. You just send me your 1995 and I'll send you the holy handkerchief. All right? And you have God's blessing. And they preach a prosperity preaching. And what they were doing is trying to what? Pad their own pocketbooks. Bring money into their own selves. And bring that there. But Paul says, that's not what I'm doing. I want you to be what God wants you to be. And because I want you to be what God wants you to be, I want you to understand that this is not about me. It's about you and about your heart. Do you know why we in a church encourage people to give? It's not because the church wants to become wealthy. Now, we have to take care of bills. We have to take care of things. But do you know most preachers don't get into pastoring a church to become wealthy? Now, there's some wicked ones that probably do, all right? Most don't. Do you know most individuals have a lot of intelligence and they could do a lot of things with their life? Do you know Brother Randy Chauvin, Evangelist Randy Chauvin, who we've had here many, many times? You might not know this, but Randy Chauvin has a very high IQ. He has a lot of intelligence. He could have been a rocket scientist if you wanted to use that, all right? He is that intelligent. Yet, what does he do? He travels around, preaches in churches, and do you know 6 months, he's back to that now, 6 months out of the year, he is in overseas in mission fields where he doesn't even get a love offering. And he's over there preaching and helping those people there. So it's not to pad your own pocketbooks. It's because he wants you to invest and the church wants you to invest so it can build your Christian life. So you will grow and you have fruit in your life. The reason reason you give in a church is not because the church wants to get wealthy. It's because we want to see you follow what God wants you to do and that your heart's right with God. Because when God has your heart, he has your pocketbook. When God has your heart, he has your service. When God has your heart, he has all about you. And that fruit may abound in your life. And you, what that idea means, that fruit abounding in life, means you're maturing. Fruit abounding carries the idea of great spiritual maturity. Paul says, I want you to grow. I want you to mature. You know what Paul wanted the church of Philippi? To continue to give and thank him for his gift they gave him. Was so that individuals of that church would grow spiritually in their lives. As a pastor of this church, I want you to do right so you can grow spiritually. Just as a parent wants their children to do right. The Bible says that we, as a parent, you rejoice in you when your child does right. And you know, what we want is to see our children do right. We want to see our children follow God. We want to see our children do right. But just as a parent wants their child to do right, so does those within a church want to see other members in the church do right. Why? So they grow. Can I be honest with you? When I see individuals within the church here, and in the 20 years, April will be 20 years that we've been here, in the 20 years, I've seen people do right, I've seen people do wrong. And let me tell you, when I've seen people do wrong, and I want to just be honest with you this morning, that it breaks my heart. Why? Because my goal, my purpose is to see each individual that makes up the local assembly of this church to grow in the grace and knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ, to mature spiritually, to live for God. When I see individuals get involved in things they shouldn't do, it breaks my heart. Because I know that what I want to see them is I want to see that fruit abound. I want to see them mature in God. I want to see them have a deep relationship with God. I want them to have a close, intimate walk with God. I want them to love God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their might, with everything that they have. And that was Paul's purpose and burden for those at Philippi. You see, what are we investing in? We see the investment. But not only do we see the investment, I want you to see the return. The return, as we gave the illustration in the beginning, those that have put money on the stock market or played or done the different things, you get a return back. It's usually a certain percentage and certain thing you get back. So what's the return? Look with me here. Verse 18. But I have all in abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you in order, a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. What is the return? Paul's needs are met. What's the return of them investing in that? The gospel went forward. The investment was in Paul. The investment was in the gospel. But the return is that the gospel was able to be presented. Why? Because Paul's needs were met. And because Paul's needs were met, Paul was able to carry out and do what God wanted to do in his life. Now think about this for a moment. Most of us in the room probably will never go to the mission field for long-term missions. Now, some in this room may. God may be calling you, and you need to go. But do you know we can come alongside our missionaries as we should? And we need to pray for our missionaries as we should. We need to financially give as we should. That's investment. That's investing in the ministry. That's investing in them. We should give to our missions. We should give to our missionaries. We should pray for our missionaries. Why? Because they need those funds so they can continue the ministry God has called them to do. But not only does it help them, it helps us as we give to them and invest in that ministry. But the return is there are souls in the different countries, in Mexico, in Brazil, in Papua New Guinea, in the different areas that we have supported for years here as a church, that there are souls that have come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we've been partakers, we've communicated with that, we've been part of that ministry, even though we never left Napa, Idaho. The return is that one day you may see someone in heaven and they thank you. Why? Because you supported that missionary. And that was the opportunity they had to hear the gospel for the very first time. And they received the Lord as their Savior. And that, the return. The return is the fruit that may abound in your life. But to also look at the next verse. My God, do you see the next return here? My God shall supply all your need. Now, this is a verse that is used way out of context. This is a verse that is a magic rabbit foot that many people pull out of the pocket. It says, I'm going through hard times, but my God shall supply all my needs. And rub that magic rabbit foot and think somehow, boom, I'm going to go and there's going to be a pile of money sitting underneath my bed. The rainbow ended right there. The pot of gold's right there. And I have all that I need. What is this talking about? Keep in context. Verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God gives him the strength to be able to be content. But now it says, my God shall supply all my need. My God shall supply all your need. What it's saying is this. When you're faithful to God, God's faithful to you. Now, my God. Now, let's break this up. My God. Whose need are met? Is those that first and foremost have a personal relationship with God. Is those that have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Is that personal pronoun, my God. He says, my God. Paul says, the God that saved me, the God that created this world, the God that I have a personal relationship, this is the God that's going to take care of your needs. This is the God that is going to give you the return. This is the God that's going to meet what you need in your life. My God. But not only just God in regards to salvation, but my God in regards to one who is walking with God. Paul says, this is the God that I love. This is the God that I live for. This is the God that I've served. This is the God that has done so much for me. My God, the God that I relied upon, the God that was there for me every ounce of my life, this is the God that should supply. The word supply means to provide for. It means to give in abundance, to supply certain things that is needed. My God shall supply. My God shall provide for all your need. You know, sometimes we sit back and say, oh, I can't invest in this because it's going to take away from what I want to accomplish in my life. I can't invest in missionaries. I can't invest in the church. I can't invest in the gospel. I can't invest in the eternal things because it's going to take away from what I need in my life. But you see, the return is this. It's going to bless the ministry. You're going to see souls saved. But also, God has promised if you're obedient, if you're serving Him, living for Him, and you're doing what God wants you to do, and you're investing in what matters, God's going to take care of what you need in your life. You're not going to go without. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to be a millionaire like Brother Rick, all right? Doesn't mean that. It means God's going to take care of you. God's going to take care of you. Now, what do you mean, preacher? I truly believe if we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and we pray about what God would have us to give and do in our lives and God leads us to do certain things, you're not going to go without. Oh, there might be some tough times. You might not know how you're going to pay a bill. You might not know how certain things are going to take place, but let me tell you, God's going to be faithful. God's going to take care of you. God's going to give you what you need in your life. My God shall supply. My God's going to take care of me. I'm on this earth. This earth is temporal. But God's going to take care of my need. What does the Bible tell us? Don't you worry about tomorrow. If God can take care of the birds, can't God take care of you? If God can take care of this, and God can take care of that, and God can do this, don't you think your Heavenly Father is going to take care of you? God is going to be there to take care of us and to help us whatever we're facing. We see this idea of the investment that is given. We also see the return. God shall supply. God's going to take care of. God's going to provide what you need. But I want you to see not only the investment, the return, but I want you to see the supplier. look at this, verse 19. But my God shall supply all you need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. This investment, this return, is based on the unchanging God and his perfect will for your life. It means he has adequate resources. There is no limit. There is no ceiling. It doesn't run out. You see, God says, I have all that I need to take care of you. He's the supplier. He is the unchanging God. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. His power doesn't change. His provision doesn't change. His promises don't change. And God says, I'm going to take care of you according to my riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I have everything I need to take care of you. Now, many of us have found in certain things there's limits to how much someone can help us, someone can take care of us. Some of you have had parents that have had a lot of resources and they've been able to help you to a certain point. But what happens to a certain level when you get to a certain point? You get cut off because you hit the ceiling, right? Some of you that invested, like we talked about in the beginning, there's usually a ceiling that goes and you hit that ceiling and that's as far as you can go with that, especially in the CDs things. If it's the 7%, 8%, that's the ceiling, it hits that, you're done, you can't go above that. But what God can give you, there is no limit. Now, it's not prosperity preaching that you're going to be have wealth beyond all understanding. That's not what it's talking about. Is that God is not limited in what he can do in and through your lives. He has all the power to take care of you according, get this, to his perfect will for your life. See, my God shall supply all my needs because God has the ability to take care of his children because he has the resources to take care of it. But it's not according to my will. It's not according to my needs, what I think I need or my greed. It's according to what he knows I need in my life. God's going to give you what you need to continue to live for God and continue to invest in eternity. Get this. God is going to give you what you need and what I need to continue to invest in eternity. God's going to give you and supply and take care of you so you can continue to further the gospel in this area and areas beyond this area. God is going to give you what you need to be able to present the gospel to the lost and dying world. God's going to give you what you need to live for him and follow his will that he has for your lives. That's what this verse is talking about. This is the whole context of this verse. Again, it's been misunderstood and people have used it out of context. What it's saying is God's going to give you what you need to continue to live for God. God's going to give you what you need so you can be that witness in this world. God's going to give you what you need so you can invest in what you're supposed to be investing in. When we follow God and we live for God, we don't need to tap in our own resources to try to do God's will. God will give us the resources we need to do his will for our lives. Now, just in this world, some people have more to invest than others, all right? Some of you, you have an extra 5 cents a week to invest. Some of you might have an extra $500 a week to invest, all right? But what's the idea is this? You take whatever you have and you invest it the way God wants you to invest it. And God will give the same return. What's the same return? He will take care of you so you can keep doing what he wants you to do in your lives. Some of you in the room, you have more talents and abilities than me. I've said this before, I have no talents, I have no abilities. My only talent, my only ability is the Lord led me to a good wife that can take care of me and help me out, all right? That's the only talent or ability I have. Without her, you guys would be in a lot more trouble than you are now, all right? I'll be honest. I've shared this before. When Tanya first met me, she thought, and I was a sophomore in high school, I took over the junior church, children's church at Calvary Baptist Church in Watertown, Wisconsin. She thought I was a cocky, arrogant, egotistical jerk. She went home and told her mom she didn't want to play piano anymore in junior church. She goes, this guy took over and I want nothing to do with it. A year later, she got right with God, and that's the rest of the story. But this idea is this. We need to take the little bit we have. We need to take the little bit we have, and we need to invest it in what matters. I read something the other day, and I wish I would have been told this when I was younger. Do you know if you would just take a dollar a day when you're from the age of 12, and you would invest a dollar a day from the age 12, when you reach retirement age in your 60s, mid-60s, and depends on what happens and what does, do you know how much money you would have in your mid-60s to be able to retire? Anyone have an idea? They say you would have somewhere between $1.5 and $2.3 million if you would just take a dollar a day from age 12 and invest that every day. Now, some of us look at that and go, that doesn't even seem possible. Well, some of you mathematicians might be able to figure out better than what I've read on the internet. Don't believe everything. But the idea is this. Just a little bit goes a long way. You take just a little bit and you invest it. You might not have a lot. You might not have a lot of resources. You might not have a lot of abilities. You might have a lot of talents. You might not be one that likes to speak in front of people. You might not be one that wants to confront things and deal with things. You might not be that way. But every one of us can invest in eternity, and we see the results because it is the one who gives the strength and gives the results. That's the supplier. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, according to his perfect will. We need to take what God has given us and invest it in eternity. Take your life, take your time, take your talents, take your treasures, invest it in what matters in life. The things of this world are going to crumble, but the things of God will last. Don't build up treasures here on this earth. Build up treasures in heaven. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your precious word. Lord, we thank you for the truths that we looked at this morning.